enjoyed that. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of John, chapter number 9 is on our heart this evening. As we mentioned this morning, this was what we started to preach this morning. And the Holy Spirit just stopped me dead in my tracks and said, no, you preach that tonight. And preach the morning, the evening message in the morning and the morning message for the evening. And so that's what we're doing tonight. So this is good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll ask you if you will please stand. This is a very familiar passage, but it's what the Lord laid on my heart. John chapter 9, verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, you ought to underline that, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Amen. Many other things we could say and read tonight, but I feel led to stop right there for the time being. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, as Jesus passed by. This is just one of the many instances where Jesus passed by. You, he passed by you, or you'd have never got in, amen?
Amen.
But he's passed your way. And tonight, he's still passing by tonight, amen? And as he does, he may stand still for somebody, amen, to hear your prayer request, but praise God. Let's pray. Father, would you help us tonight, Lord Jesus, to preach the Word of God? And would you give us an unction from the Holy Spirit to do so? Father, I have no ability on my own. Father, I'm just old flesh. There's nothing good about me except Jesus. You saved me many years ago. And tonight, Father, I stand as a witness to the power of the Christ. Now, Lord, I ask that then you would help us. It's not our message, it's yours. It's not our call, it's yours. It's not our people that I try to preach to, it's yours. God, would you do your work tonight? Lord, as we stand here in the house of God, would you fill us and use us and give us application to the Scripture? For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I thank you tonight for standing. You may be seated. There was many years ago, a jazz pianist. His name was George Shearing. He composed more than 300 pieces of music, but he was blind from birth. He was very busy. He was always in the downtown area. He would be navigating the crowded sidewalks with his dark glasses and with his cane. And on one occasion, he was at a busy intersection right during the rush hour, and he was waiting for someone to come help him to cross the street. And someone came suddenly and tapped him on the shoulder and said, excuse me, sir, would you mind helping a blind man across the street? Well, he started to tell him that he too was blind himself, but he thought, why not go ahead and go for it? So he said, certainly, my friend, here, take my arm. And the two men set off across the street together, the blind leading the blind. And as they crossed the street, they heard tires squealing, horns blaring, angry voices screaming out of angry filled cars. But somehow they made it safely to the other side of the street and got on the curb. And what a thrill they got crossing the blind leading the blind. Well, this blind man that we've just read to you about is introducing us to a man who's going to get a greater thrill than just crossing a street and really getting lucky that he didn't get killed. This is a miracle of the Lord. Say amen if you believe in the miracle power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, miracles in the Bible are fourfold. Number one, they are to relieve human misery. You see, Jesus cared about the brokenness of individual people. And this man was broken, destitute, and desperate. Jesus saw him, and he brought healing into his life. Number two, it would prove messianic credentials. I read to you out of Isaiah 29, verse 18. In that day, the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. One of the signs that the Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah, is that he could heal blinded eyes. He could heal deafened ears. There's a third reason for miracles. It's for what the Master's kingdom will one day be like. Here he's healed a blind man. You and I were all blind spiritually, and he healed us. And when we get to heaven, there'll be no more blindness. May I say it like this? There'll be no death. There'll be no demons. Many times he'd cast out demons. He would raise people from the dead. Amen. No more death. No more demons. Oftentimes he would cure people or heal them from some disease. In heaven, there'll be no more diseases. Amen. Thank God for that. And fourthly, there's a message in every miracle. There's a sermon in every sign. And there are at least three truths, there's more, but three truths that we see tonight from this miracle. Number one, I see a sensitive Savior. The Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he is passing by. Where has he come from is what came into my heart and in my mind as he's passing by this man. Where has he come from? He has come from being castigated from a crowd. Would you read the previous chapter? John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, he's in the temple here, okay, to the crowd. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, Jesus did not say, before Abraham was, I was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Those are some pretty great credentials he's just described to himself. For all the Jews in the temple knew that there was a man by the name of Moses who saw a bush burning upon the mountainside. And when he went up there and the bush began to speak with him, he said, who should I say sent me? And from the bush, the voice of God saying, I am that I am. You go tell Pharaoh that I am hath sent you. One of the greatest names for God is I am. And when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he has just ascribed to himself that he is God. Amen. There's never been a time that Jesus did not exist. He's just always been. He is I am that I am. And the religious crowd in that temple did not like hearing Jesus say he is God. They believed that he blasphemed. And in verse 59, then they took up stones to cast at him. Why? Because they did not believe he was God. They did not believe he was the Son of God. They did not believe in his deity. They believed he was a blasphemer and he should be put to death. Now, would you go back in this chapter a little further? You remember there was a woman who was taken in the very act of adultery. And in verse number 6, Jesus wrote with his finger on the ground. And verse 7, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Right? One of the things you could stone someone for adultery. He said, he that's without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. Boy, from the eldest to the least, they walked out and were not able to throw their stones. Look at verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. You know what they just called him? They called him a liar. He's in the house of God, and they called Jesus a liar. Verse 41, Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They are saying that Jesus is illegitimate. They're saying that he is born out of fornication. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. You know what they just said? They described that Jesus was demon possessed. All of this from people in the house of God. They've called him a liar. They've called him demon possessed. They called him born of fornication. And now when he says, before Abraham was, I am, they're even angrier and they take up stones and they're ready to blaspheme him. This same crowd that looked to stone the woman and couldn't now look to stone Jesus. The Bible says Jesus hid himself, verse 59. He went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Oh, he passed by there. He went to the house of God and passed right by them, and they never got who he was. Do you think he's here tonight? Do you think it's possible that he could pass right by here and us not even appreciate that Jesus is still passing by? He was being castigated. Now look at the consideration. Jesus passed by, and when he did, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now this bloodthirsty mob is hot on his heels to kill him. And as Jesus is hiding, moving through the crowd, coming out of the temple, notice he did not see the crowds. He saw a man, one among many, but his attention centered personally and individually on this one man. What about that? Now, may I say, that night I got saved, there may have been 350 people there, but Jesus' attention was just on an individual boy that sat there in that crowd. And tonight, there's no doubt, there's a good crowd here, but he's got his eye on some individuals tonight in our setting. We see, number one, Jesus is a sensitive Savior because he was not worried about his own safety. He was not concerned that somebody was going to do something to him. He's not a Savior of convenience. He's here to serve others and not himself. He never did a miracle for his own needs. He always did miracles for others. We see a sensitive Savior. What a truth. Number two, we also find a sightless sinner. The Bible says that this man was blind from his birth. I didn't read it in verse 8, but at the end of verse 8 it says, is not this he that sat and begged? He was a beggar in filthy rags, begging every day, asking for alms. Of course, according to our reading, he is not blind because of an accident. He is not blind because of disease. He was born blind. He has never seen the light of day. He's never seen a mountain high or a valley low. He's never seen a river, a stream, or an ocean. He's never seen an animal. He's never seen a sunrise, and he's never seen a sunset. He's never seen his parents, and he's never seen a sibling if he had one. Imagine being born blind, trying to navigate your day through life blind. Imagine this morning if you'd left and all the things you did after you left the service and came back tonight, if you were blind, would it have changed your life? Would you have had to do things very differently if you were blind than what you're experiencing right now?
This man had no light perception. This man has grown up from babyhood to boyhood to manhood in the darkness of being totally blind. And yet he represents someone. He represents me. And he represents you. He is a picture of lost humanity, depraved in the darkness, thinking we have light, but we have no idea of our lost condition. There was a man who had been out hunting all night long. It began to rain. He went into a cave, and in that cave, he got very comfortable in that cave. He got out of the dampness, and he got out of the wet, and he thought he was safe. He decided he would get down there on the ground and scurry up some straw and some dead grass and some roots as he felt around and found a few sticks, and he made them all together, and he had a match, and he struck it and lit it so as to get warm. But when he did, from the fire came light. And he noticed immediately, coiled up in the corner, was a snake. He had been feeling around in the dark, and there was a snake he could have grabbed for a stick, but somehow he just missed it. That made him very afraid. Overhead, spiders, eight legs, hairy, two eyes, beady, looking right down at him. And webs, huge, and all things caught up in his web. And now he ducked down low because he saw spiders and he seen snakes. And all of a sudden, he's not so comfortable in his dark cave anymore. Friend, the night I sat at Balfour Baptist Church and the man of God started preaching the word, shining the light, I began to see the snakes and the spiders. I began to see the sin in my life, in the imminent danger of going to hell all around me. As Jesus was passing by, the light shined upon me, amen, and I began to see just where I really was. Every one of us are born with a sin nature. We are separated from God. Listen to this verse in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You see, you look around at the world and you think, man, how can people live this way? You know why? It's because they're lost. They're darkness. You can't expect people that are in darkness to react and live according to the light. You can't imagine, you can't think that people that are lost are going to live saved. It's not just going to happen. And so we see this young man who's born blind, it's a difficult case. He's not an accident. It's not a disease. It's a difficult case. We read verse 2. It becomes a debatable case. Look at verse 2. His disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples are supposing that all disabilities and all problems in life were the result of sin. And oftentimes the disciples are very much like a religious crowd. They major on the minors. They're debating stuff that really doesn't even matter. They're debating who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Well, who even cares? And what does it even matter how he ended up in this condition? That's not going to help him a bit. It's amazing what we discuss and what we debate in the house of God, and we fuss and major on the minors, things that don't even make a hill of beans, even in China, that won't make no difference. That's what we get tore up about. And these disciples are tore up about who did sin, this man or his parents. You know, some people believe that you're reincarnated, and he's been reincarnated, he's come back blind. There is no reincarnation. Amen. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Now he's not saying, he said, I'm not saying there's not difficulties and hardships that come into people's lives because of sin, but for this man, it's not him or his parents. What is it? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So this difficult case has become a debatable case And now, look at it, it is a deliberate case. This is allowed to show God's touch and God's power upon this man's life. You realize, Preacher Darren, why does these bad things happen to me? God's allowing it that he might display his power in your life. He wants you to know that he and he alone can make the difference in your life. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Another reason this has happened is because of God's timing. You understand, God doesn't operate on the same time scale you and I operate on. You and I, we worry about, well, Lazarus has been dead 3 days. What are we going to do now? Hey, when Jesus is 4 days late, he's still on time. You sit around and you say, Lord, I really need you to do this now. What am I going to do? My world's going to fall apart. I'll never get this meal paid. What am I going to do? Lord, I really need you to do something now. God's now and your now are two different things. And you'll learn that the timing of God is perfect. Verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. It's allowed to reveal God's truth. Now look with me in those three verses. Jesus did not come to argue about why people are blind. He came to make blind people to see. That's what he's called us to do. Preacher, I can't heal anybody. Yes, but you can tell them about somebody who can. Rather than debate and discuss, we need to point them to Jesus. Jesus did not call us to debate things. You know what he's calling us to? To helping people that are in need, to sharing, to testifying, to telling and sharing the gospel. You know what we're called to do? We're called to push back the darkness. There's a world out there of darkness. Our job is to push back the darkness. Preacher Darren, I can't do it. Oh, then why'd he give you a helmet of salvation and a shield of faith? Why'd he give you all that body armor? Why'd he give you the sword of the Spirit? He gave you those things to push back the darkness. But if we spend all our time in the church debating and discussing how they got in that situation, and therefore I'm trying to decide, should I help them or not, based on where I think they come from and how they got there. Honey, let me ask you a question. Where'd you come from? How'd you get where you are, amen, and where you been? Hey, God came by when you was blind. God came by when you was a sinner, and he rescued you, and he saved you. Thank God somebody was there to preach to you and to pray for you and to praise God for what God's doing in your life. I say hallelujah to God. We see a sensitive Savior, and we see a sightless sinner. Thirdly, and I'm done, there's a very simple solution. Look at the cure. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, I like that, the words of Jesus. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The words of Jesus are the word of God. Now, you and I, no doubt, spiritually shapen in iniquity, and Jesus passed by. The hope of the world is Jesus. And as Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. And he began to work that spit into the dirt, and the Bible says that he made spittle. Now, I could make you turn to these, but I see some actions that Jesus commits. I see times when he's eating. I see times when he's singing. When he's singing, oh yeah, when they all came out of that upper room, they all sang a hymn. You know what the word all means? Jesus sang too. He was singing and praising the Father. We see in the Word of God, we see him weeping, we see him teaching, we see him preaching, but spitting? Spitting, Preacher Darren? I've seen you preach, Preacher Darren, and you spit when you preach. Jesus was a spitting preacher. He spat on purpose. And from that spit, he made clay. Ooh, Pastor Darren, human saliva is full of human bacteria. You'll be spreading germs. If you spit on the ground, you might spread coronavirus. ooh, that wouldn't be good. But honey, Jesus is not the sick one. Modern day science will tell you we've learned how to get DNA from people. We're not getting the DNA from your blood. They take your saliva and get your saliva and get your DNA. I would submit to you, when Jesus fell on the ground, we have the DNA of God, the essence of who God Almighty really is, and he began to work it into the dirt from which Adam was made from, and you and I, and he began to apply the very DNA of Almighty God to the situation. Honey, when I got saved, I got the DNA of God Almighty, amen, as he calls me to be recovered from my blindness. And then look with me. He took that spittle, the DNA, the clay, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man. Anointed, what does that mean? He began to take that clay and he rubbed it into that blind man's eyes. Now tonight at the end of service, if I got us a line to form and say I'm going to spit, and I'm going to make clay, and I'm going to put it in your eyes, I wouldn't heal anybody. I'd probably blind a few. Right? Rubbing, everybody knows, rubbing clay into someone's eyes will probably blind them. Because eyes are very sensitive. Well, Preacher Aaron, I don't think the blind man's eyes. Now, study this. Those eyes, though they're blind, still have feeling. They're still sensitive. And so we see that as he rubs that clay into this man's eyes, it's irritating. Just imagine a blind man. His pupils probably maybe roll back. You see the whites of his eyes. They're very empty. Maybe they're crusted around. Maybe they're frozen in place. And Jesus takes this clay and begins to rub it right into his eyes. I'm talking about irritating those eyes. Now, what is it? The gospel, the words of God, comes from the mouth of Jesus, and he's taking the DNA of God, the Word of God, and rubbing it, irritating his eyes. The night the man of God preached to me, it irritated my eyes. It brought conviction. When he preached truth to me, I did not sit there comfortable in my sin. When the light came by and I saw the snakes of sin and the spiders of sin and the separation from God, I was very irritated with what was going on. Hear me. When Jesus rubs the gospel in someone's eye, this anointed clay, it's not to blind them, but it's to work the miracle. It's not to drive them from sight, but to bring them from sight. Oh, his ways are not our ways. We see the cure. Look with me at the command in verse number 7. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. Oh my. He went his way, and the Bible says, therefore, and washed. So, if you have an irritation, the Lord commanded, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam, and I want you to wash. I'm thinking about irrigation. He commands this man to go to a certain place. He did not say, you go to the pool of your choice. You go to what you think is best. If you hope to receive the blessing of God, you've got to do it exactly as the Son of God says. If you're going to get up and go, you better go to the right place. The pool of Siloam, which is also known as the virgin fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You don't just go to any old pool. You go to the fountain, the virgin fountain, the one that means sent. You know what he's saying? Jesus is the sent one. God the Father sent Jesus the Son to give his life upon the cross of Calvary that we might have salvation. Amen. Jesus has sent him forth. And now he goes to the pool, and I see irrigation. What does that mean? Ephesians 5, 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That irrigation represents the word of God that's to come and wash the clay and the mud and the spittle out of his eyes. Preacher Darren, what can we hope for? What will happen when we go and wash in that virgin fountain? The Bible says he came seeing. I think thirdly about the invitation. Preacher Darren, churches nowadays don't want to give invitations anymore. It makes people feel uncomfortable. It makes them feel like they're sinners and they need salvation. It makes them feel like they're not good enough. I don't like invitations. I remember when I was a boy, I didn't like them either. I mean, they'd sing "Just As I Am" 13 times, all three verses. And finally, I thought, "Lord God, Daddy, get out of my way. I'll go to the altar fiddle to get them to stop singing." You ever been there? Where we just went all, listen, if the Holy Ghost is not big enough to pull them in, our music's not going to do it either. I don't need to go to them and tell them, hey, you need to do this or you need to, that's up between them and the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Preacher Darren, invitations, can you find one in the Bible? Well, I think there's one here. He sent him out, and when he did, he came back. He came. I thought about Noah. God told Noah to build the boat, and Noah did. And when he built the boat, God said, Noah, come thou into the ark. Noah had to leave where he was and go across that gangplank into that ship. And when he said, come thou, it meant the Lord was already there. And he was inviting him in. I wrote another one down. I thought about what God said in Isaiah. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen. I'm thinking about a great man of God who had a great big church of thousands of people, had a live broadcast, and a little lady come out of Sunday school and said, Pastor, the Lord wants me to go down to so-and-so's house and cut on her radio so she can hear you preach today, live. And the man of God did not say, you ought to be in church first. He said, you do what the Lord told you to. She went out of that church, down the street to that lady's house, and cut on the radio. And he preached, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. At the end of the service, he was standing at the back to shake hands, and the lady came back down the sidewalk, and she said, Pastor, that little lady needs to talk to you. Will you come right now and talk to that lady? He didn't say, I'm going to go eat with my family. He didn't say, let me finish shaking hands here. He left where he was, followed that lady down the sidewalk, went into those doors where this little lady was laying sick, dying. And he stuck his hand out, and he said, I'm preacher. She said, first of all, I'm diseased, and I don't want to touch you. Second of all, I'm a sinner, and you're a man of God, and I don't want to touch you. He said, ma'am, Jesus wants to save you. Do you believe he died for your sins? She says, I believe that now. Do you believe that they buried him? Yes, I do. But you don't know what I've been. I've been wicked. I've been part of a prostitution. I've sold drugs. I've been an alcohol. I'm a wicked, wanton woman, dying and evidently going to hell. And there is no hope for me. I'm not worthy to shake your hand. I'm not worthy to have the man of God under my roof. I'm not worthy to have the discussion. He said, oh, yes. But God said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He died to take away your sins that you might be forgiven, that you might go to heaven and get a new body and live with him for all of eternity. And she said, preacher, right now, I want to ask Jesus to save me. And he forgave her of her sins, and she got saved. And he looked at the lady and said, ma'am, I'm the preacher, And she put her hand out and shook his hand. And she said, I'm Sister So-and-so. Amen. Hear me. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Jesus Christ is the great invitation giver. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What about Moses? When he came off the mountain and the people were down there worshiping a calf, and he said, Moses, what have you done? Or Aaron, what have you done? Aaron said, well, they wanted me to make something molten, and I took up their earrings and their bracelets and their necklaces and their ankle bracelets and their nose rings, and I threw them in the melting pot, and we got it so hot, and holy cow, out came this golden calf, and people just started worshiping it and dancing before it and having a good time. Moses ground that thing down. And Moses said, you that's on the Lord's side, come unto me. Leave where you are and come to me. There were 3,000 that day that did not believe the man of God, and they perished on the spot. God is in the invitation giving. Now I'm going to tell you something. When I look at this passage, this is the thrust of the message right here for us tonight. God just ate me up. When I look at this passage, I see an overlooked person. Someone that's not really even paid attention to. I see Jesus. Do you see him? 4 people saw Jesus in this passage. I'm going to preach the whole message. Stop it. We're going to back up. I'm going to start again. Verse 1, as Jesus passed by, okay, y'all are with me now. Jesus is in this passage. You know who else is in this passage? His disciples. His followers are in this passage. The blind man. If you don't see him, you're blind. The blind man is in this passage. And if we read on in this chapter, we would even meet his parents. We would meet Pharisees. But there's someone overlooked. There had to be, when the Lord told this blind man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, there had to be someone, Luke, there had to be someone that got him by the hand and said, let's do what he said. Let's do what he said. Let's go to the pool. I'm telling you, there was a time I got with Jesus. He changed my world. He saved my soul. He cured my diseases. And now I'm on my way to heaven. And let's go down here to the pool. Come on. Come on, let's go down here to the pool. Woo-wee. And he washed him. And when he got up, you know what he said? Woo! I'm ready to come back. I can see now. I don't need you to guide me and lead me. I'm ready to help and lead some other people. Amen. Thank you, son. Well, Preacher Darren, maybe he had a C&I dog. Well, he'd have said, Spot, good to see you, son. I don't need you anymore. And after all, I'm just old Gentile dog. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is passing by and he sees disciples, he sees blind people, he sees people that, oh yeah, now you see, but some of you see men as trees walking. You can have your vision so much clearer and adjusted if you just come to him. When the invitation is given, Lord, would you open it to me? God, would you show me? God, would you help me to see clearer than I see tonight? Amen. Well, preacher, that's not in this passage. Yeah, but it makes good preaching right now. Amen. I'm just telling you, there are people here as Jesus passes by. You need to be that nameless, oh man, this is where he got me. You need to be that nameless, humble someone that took that blind man by the hand and brought him to the fountain. You may say, Preacher Darren, I've never led a soul. Have you ever led a soul to Jesus Christ? The first time you do it, you'll be ruined forever. You'll want to help everybody. You'll want to point everybody to Jesus Christ. I mean, I did it at Backyard Baptist Church just as a little old boy. when God was talking to me about preaching, I said, Lord, I barely even saved myself. I don't know how to tell anybody how to get saved. And you want me to preach? God, I don't know how to preach. God, I don't even know how to pray with somebody. And about that time, somebody had my britches leg. And I looked at him. I was like, leave me alone. He said, Darren, I need to be saved. Can you help me? In the very place I was making excuses, God solved that. Honey, I'm telling you, there's somebody here. As Jesus passes by, he's calling you to be a helper, an assistant, nameless. Maybe nobody's going to pat you on the back, but he knew who helped him to get there. You stand to your feet tonight. Seth, if you'd play. There may be, listen, will you hear me just for a second? You're spending all your energy arguing with the darkness. You want to argue, you want to refute, you want to refute, you want to prove. You're arguing with darkness. That's all you want to do is argue with darkness and try to fight it back. Stand for God. I'm against the darkness. But let me tell you something. No matter what I do tonight, are you looking at me? I'm not doing anything to push the darkness back. Oh, preacher, you're waving your arms and you're speaking words and you're using a lot of energy. But you know, all that's really got to be done is turn on the light. You need to start using your energy to turn on the light. Be that witness. Pray for those folks. Testify to those folks. But quit using your energy debating and discussing things that do not matter. Your head's bowed. Nobody's looking. Is there anybody tonight you feel a need to come to the altar and say, God, I just want to be a divine assistant. I want to be a helper. I want you to point me. Lord, I want to lead people to Christ. I want to point them in the right direction. I want to live my life. I want to give testimony. I want to pray. God, I can't do this on my own. I just want to turn on the light. Would you come and ask him tonight, Lord, as you're passing by my way, would you help me? Would you give me courage and confidence? I'm such a spiritual coward. Help me, Lord. Strengthen me. There may be somebody, and I said, Lord, I want to see clearer. God, clear some things up in my life. Help me to see. Help me to understand. Cause me to do so. Father, tonight, I thank you that Jesus is still passing by. And I thank you that there's a message in every miracle. And Lord, I thank you that you allowed me, a blind man, to receive spiritual sight. And Lord, I certainly could have my spiritual sight corrected over and over. Lord, clear matters up. Help me to see, Lord. Open to me your word. Teach it to me, Lord. Help me, God, that I might help others. Would you give us wisdom that we might help others with your word? God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, that you'd give us an appointment to be a prayer warrior and a helper and an encourager and someone to witness and to testify that Jesus gives blind sinners sight every day. Lord, would you help us to take them by the hand? Jesus, we're asking for your touch, for your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.